Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our service from last Sunday's worship. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your little ones. We would be privileged to have you attend our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. This Sunday, we finish our sermon series, Word to the Wise, that has been looking at the book of Proverbs. This morning, we will look at the godly guidance for our goods in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. Proverbs has a lot to say about how we are to handle what God has blessed us with on this earth. We encourage everyone to read through the book of Proverbs during the month of May. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs, one for each day of the month for you to read. May God bless you with His grace and power this coming week. We thank you for listening.
Children's Time is led by Kendra Hall.
Good morning. As you guys have noticed, we have some graduates in our audience today because today is a special day for them. They get to graduate from high school. But we also have a lot of other graduates here with us. We have some who graduated from preschool and fifth grade, and we've got some eighth grade graduates out there and college graduates. So at some point in your life, you will also graduate. Some of you are just graduating from one grade to another. So you get to move to a different hallway, or those fifth graders are going to move across the parking lot next year. But the end of the school year can kind of be a little bit nerve-wracking, especially for those boys right there wearing those hats, because they don't really know what the next chapter of their life is going to look like. So a lot of times whenever people graduate, we read this book. Does this look familiar? Dr. Seuss. Everybody loves Dr. Seuss, right? So this book is called Oh, the Places You'll Go. And today in the sermon, Pastor Russ is going to talk about some wisdom that these guys and all of us can carry throughout our lives. So I'm going to read a little bit of Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss, because that's a good graduation book for everybody. But also, Dr. Seuss and God kind of are telling us the same things in part of it. So I'm just going to read part of it. So in Dr. Seuss's story, he starts out saying, "Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what to do, and you are the guy who will decide where to go." But God is telling us in Proverbs that when we decide where we're going to go, like these guys had to choose, do they want to go to the workforce, do they want to go in the military, or do they want to go to college? If we read Proverbs 3, it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. So we should always trust God to tell us where to go. And then Dr. Seuss continues, and he says, "You'll look up and down streets, look over them with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any that you want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air." So how do you think we choose which path that we should go down? Maybe we should look back at Proverbs and read chapter 3, verse 6, where it says, "Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." So if we get into life and we see this, we need to turn to who? To God. So what we need to remember is, as long as we ask God to walk beside us, we'll be okay, and we'll be making the right choice. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for a wonderful school year and for all of our graduates. Please be by our side in all that we do in our future. Amen.
Our first two scriptures are read by Carla Clennon. It's followed by the gospel reading and his sermon on this morning when we honor our high school graduates, entitled The Graduation Gift of Godly Wisdom by Pastor Cobb.
Our first lesson today comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 and 13 through 18. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on his own insight. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. For the gain from it is better than the gain from silver, and it profits better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. In her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life, and to those who lay hold to her, those who hold her fast are called happy. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging proverbs with a great care. The preacher sought to find pleasing words, and upright he wrote words of truth. The saying of the wise are like roads, and they're like nails firmly fixed in the collecting saying which are given by one shepherd. O my son, beware of anything beyond these. O making many books, there is no end, and much studying is the weariness of bush. The end of the matter has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment and everything secret things, even good or evil. Here ends our second lesson.
Our last scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than any human strength. Before we get started, I also want to just say welcome to Dylan Ash for being here. Buddy, you're on our prayer list, and we're thankful that you're here, thankful for your service. Lanny's figured this all out. He knows if he sets up close enough, I'll never look over there. But today, I'm going to look over there. So I've got you today. So thank you for being here, Dylan. This is a big day, guys. Graduation day for the California High School class of 2019, and also for the Blair Oaks graduate that came with us today. We are going through the book of Proverbs this month, and this Sunday we are going to look at chapter 3 of Proverbs and hopefully give our graduates this morning something to take with them as they take their next step in life. I think all of you are headed to college, at least I hope so, because we all gave you scholarships a couple weeks ago for college, all right? So I hope you're headed that way, all right? We are thankful that you and your families are with us today. The church has been with you for this part of your journey. They prayed for you, they have taught you, and they have served with you. And we pray that you will continue in your faith wherever you may go. There's a lot on your mind today, I know. Celebrations to take place and family to visit with later day. You know, when you graduate from high school or college, you receive gifts and presents. In fact, at the end of today's service, we have a gift bag for each one of you. You will receive hopefully lots of monetary gifts, if not so already, to help you with your future educational expenses. You'll receive other gifts, maybe like some books or a new iPhone or maybe even a laptop computer or something else. You know, we gave our girls new laptops, I think, when they graduated high school. When they graduated college, we gave them the money that we had saved for them and their college education. Each one had some saving bonds that were bought when they were very little. And when I graduated from high school, I received some gifts, too. I remember some of those gifts. One of them was a boombox. If you can remember what a boombox is, for you guys, it played little cassettes in. Okay, that's with tape. It's not a CD or anything. In fact, I think we still have the boombox. It's downstairs. Instead of playing cassette tapes, I think it eats cassette tapes right now. But it can pick up a local radio station, and I've used it from time to time. My parents, though, you know, I think bought that for me when I graduated high school. But I think probably the best gift that I got from my graduation from high school is my grandpa Ed bought me a used 1972 Ford Mustang. Wow. My Aunt Barbara had brought it, who was here just last week. She had bought that brand new and was getting ready to upgrade vehicles. And so my grandpa thought it would be a good present to give me for high school graduation. And I was all excited to get that 72 Mustang. But a few weeks before I was to get it, my Aunt Barbara was in an accident. And it crushed the passenger side door. And there was some worry that the frame had been damaged and that I might not be able to get the car. But they checked it out and I was able to drive that vehicle, but they did not fix the passenger side door. I need to come by your place, Kent, and get that taken care of. But I was so cool in that car. That car could really run. It had a 302 engine in it, and I looked so cool. The little cool that I had, I looked so cool in it until I would pass a car, and they would see the passenger door and the damage on it. But I loved that car so much. I kept it for a few years, but it started to break down. And eventually, my dad sold it, I think, because he couldn't take care of it anymore. And he replaced it with the exact opposite of a 72 Ford Mustang. He replaced it with a Plymouth Champ, which is the exact opposite. Like I said, it's a tin can with a motor in it. But it was impressive enough that Betty thought I was the guy for her. At least that's the story, and I'm sticking to it. Toward the end of my senior year, though, my dad bought me another car. He bought me an 85 Pontiac Sunbird on my graduation from a friend of mine who was getting ready to go on the mission field. And we kept it for several years until we finally gave it away to a charity. But I received another gift on my high school graduation. I have it with me today. I got it from a couple of my youth sponsors from 9th Street Christian Church. And I still use this book today in my library, and I've had it with me wherever I went. And they gave it to me in May of 1984 from 9th Street Christian Church. It says, "Russ, what a special person you are. You have so much to give to the Lord. God has a special purpose for you, and because of your willingness to serve Him, I'm sure He will accomplish much through you. We are thankful to have been a part of your life these past years. God bless you. We love you, Don and Elisa Steen, and Tim and Gayla Dwyer." It reminds me, I don't use it as much as I once did, but it reminds me of my youth sponsors. It reminds me of my youth minister, Robin Sigers, and it reminds me of the church that was behind me and helped me grow in my faith. You're going to have money that you spend. You're going to have iPhones that will be replaced. Your cars are going to wear out. What gift can we give you today that will stay with you throughout the remainder of your lives? I'm hoping I can impress upon you in this short time the importance of staying faithful to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and trusting in His Word throughout your life and following godly wisdom. We read earlier Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." We read another passage earlier that said, "Wisdom is more precious than rubies, more precious than gold and silver." My prayer is that besides the gifts we give you today and you receive in the days ahead, you will take with you the gift of godly wisdom throughout your life. Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver." Solomon, when given the choice between wisdom and riches, he chose wisdom. But why choose godly wisdom for a gift rather than cash or gold or even a brand new car? The word, the Hebrew meaning for the word wisdom is skill. Skill in what? Skill in living. God wants us to be skilled in living this life for Him. Each one of you has various skills. You might be mechanical. All of you are athletic, I think. You have intelligence. What the writer of Proverbs is telling you and each one of us here this morning is to couple our abilities with godly wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If you lack wisdom, ask God, and He will give you generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you." I have received many wise words in my life from my dad. "Put something back where you got it from" was one that I learned very early. I've not always followed that great concept. In fact, Dad, when we went fishing Monday, I took a hat from your house because I didn't bring one with me, and I forgot to give it back to you, all right? So I will give this back to you after church is over, all right? I did get it back, but I didn't get back in the right time. Someone once told me, around the time I graduated, this will be the last time you will see the majority of your classmates you have spent the last 13 years with. That turned out to be pretty true. I've seen maybe a third to 40% of my classmates from the class of 1984. I see pictures of lots of them on Facebook, but to spend time with them personally again, not so many. I did see a classmate just last Monday in Eldon at the Bass Pro, Daniel Stark. I introduced myself and he recognized me. We talked about the reunion coming up and he asked me if I'd been to the 30th reunion. And I said, Daniel, yes, I was. We took pictures together. And the memory of me had already faded even after 5 years. So after 35 years, you may not see all the people that you have spent all this time with. You know, some other sayings that I got was another one I like and my kids hate, and they will probably run screaming from the sanctuary when I start to say it, is if you are early, you're on time, and if you're on time, you're late. They hate that one, but I got that from a band teacher and I like it. I watched various graduation speeches this past week. I watched Conan O'Brien, I watched Will Ferrell, I watched Denzel Washington, I watched Lou Holtz, the coach at Notre Dame at one time, and I watched one by Admiral William McRaven. Most of them were very funny, and a couple of them stood out from the rest. The one from Admiral McRaven is a retired Navy SEAL, Dylan, and you would appreciate this. I would encourage everybody to watch his speech, and he talked about how his training helped prepare him for life. His first point is the one that stuck with me. He says, the first thing that you should do, and he told this to the graduates of the University of Texas at Austin, he said, make your bed to perfection. That's the first thing that you need to learn. Make your bed, he said. His reasons, you start your day off accomplishing something. When you complete one task, it will lead to completing other tasks. Little things matter. And if you have a miserable day, you'll come home to a made bed. I didn't put that one into practice very early on in my life. The thought I had when I was in college is that, why make the bed? It's just there when I get back. It's all ready for me to get right back into. But I've come to understand the value of this, and I've learned to make the bed pretty much every day at our house, except maybe on the weekends when Betty assists me in that task. Lou Holtz, the coach of Notre Dame, had 4 good points in his graduation speech. He said, number one, have something to do, have someone to love, have someone to believe in, and he said, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and have something to hope for. Denzel Washington had a great speech. His 3 points, and the first one I liked, was put God first in everything you do. Those were his first words and the theme throughout the speech. See, you all are going to be making choices, and that's what your life is going to be about. The college you're going to, the friends you hang out with, the career you will choose, the person you will choose to be your spouse, where you will live after college. George Jones, probably my favorite country singer, has a song called Choices. He talks about his life and all the mistakes he had made. He made a lot of them. But later in his life, he realized the need for faith and sobriety. See, your life will be about the choices you make and how you live with those choices and how you bounce back from the bad choices that you make. When I was in seminary, I was working as a youth minister in Indiana and going to seminary in Ohio once a week. And I got tired after a year or two of driving back and forth, and I decided to take a break from my seminary training. I remember my advisor, Eleanor Daniel, telling me at the time, Russ, if you quit now, you're not going to finish for another 20 or 30 years. I told her, I don't want to hear that. You don't know what you're talking about. But no true words have ever been spoken to me. It's been almost 30 years, and I still have not completed my master's yet. The goal was to get it done by the time I'm 50. I'm going to have to push that one back a little bit now. But see, we all make choices. And I'm thankful God's grace and his flexibility to work with me through all my bad choices and still use me. And he'll do the same with all of you. So what can I leave with you this morning? I can't match Denzel. I can't match Will Ferrell or Conan O'Brien or even an admiral from the Navy. But I'm going to leave you with the words I told our middle daughter when I dropped her off at Drury University for her freshman year of college. See, Carrie attended Columbia College, and she lived at the Christian campus house in Columbia, and she, in fact, worked in the financial aid department, so I saw her fairly regular, so it wasn't really like she was gone from home because we saw her. Amy attended Columbia College for a year, and she attends Mizzou and lives at the Christian campus house, and she works at Betty's work, and so we see her fairly regular, so it wasn't like she was really gone. But Kelly, being the true middle child, went on her own path and decided to attend Drury University. And I remember that day we dropped her off. And for all those who have dropped off your kids at colleges far away on that first day, you know exactly what I'm talking about. She was not going to be in the safe environment, and we weren't going to be able to see her regularly. And so I told her I loved her. I told her, this is your adventure. But then I left her these three things when I hugged her, and I told her these three things. And I don't know if she remembers them or not, but I told her to pray every day, read her Bible every day, and go to church every Sunday. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. We already read Proverbs chapter 3 about trusting in the Lord. And that's what prayer is trusting in Him. It's submitting to Him what your desires are, submitting to Him what your plans are, and trusting that He gives you the right guidance. It's putting your worries and your struggles before Him, thanking God for what He has blessed you with. I'm not just talking about reciting the Lord's Prayer or reciting our prayers together that we do on Sundays. There is benefit to group prayer, and I enjoy it, but I'm talking about personal prayer. Each day, spend time praying to Him on your way to work, or on your way to school, or before you go to bed at night. Denzel Washington's last point of his speech, he told all the graduates to put their slippers as far underneath the bed as possible. So in the morning, they would have to get down on their knees to get underneath there to get their slippers. And while on their knees, he said, thank God for what you have right now. That's my encouragement to you. Pray to Him every day. Jesus had a parable about being faithful in prayer, about a widow that was constantly nagging a judge to get the decision that she wanted. And Jesus told that parable because He wanted to show them how to pray and not give up. There's going to be days that you want to give up and you're going to wonder if prayer is really helping anything at all. But Jesus told that story so He'd encourage us not to give up and be faithful in prayer. One of the little acronyms I use about prayer is the word joy. It helps me line out my prayers. Jesus first. Thank Jesus for saving our souls. O is for others. Pray for other people. And then finally, pray for yourself. That's the why in there. See, God wants to hear from His children. Praise Him for the beauty of a sunset or a sunrise. Ask Him for the guidance of your life. And ask Him to forgive Him when you fall short. The second thing that I told Kelly was read your Bible every day. All five of you, if you were here, you were all part of the 2015 confirmation class. On that day of confirmation, you received your own personalized Bible. And when I asked people out at Salem if they still had their Bible from confirmation, many of them raised their hand. And I'm sure that you all do. The hope and prayer of this church is that you regularly partake of the guidance and wisdom found in God's Word. I brought with me another book. It's my first Bible from First Baptist Church of Eldon, given to me on November 9th, 1975. And inside it is an inscription written much later in life from a friend of mine that invited me to church at 9th Street. It's from Tim Rader. It says, to Russell, to my one and only friend. Just kidding, he said. In him, from Timothy Rain Rader, Timmy. And Tim was the one that invited me to church and got me on my path to faith. I know each one of you got a Bible at confirmation. I know each one of you got one here in California at Baccalaureate on Wednesday. You got a pocket New Testament from the Gideons. You can get your Bible on your iPhone. But by reading your Bible every day, you learn about the promises of God and gain insight on how to make right choices. Couple that with surrounding yourself with godly people to get good advice from. That's when you'll know to make the right decisions and know that God is speaking through the Holy Spirit to your heart and to your mind. We see in the New Testament the prodigal son made some bad choices. He told his father to give him everything and let him go on his way, and he made a series of bad choices and ended up far away, hungry and broken. But he remembered his father's love, and he remembered his father's teaching. That's what you get when you read the Bible every day. You remember your father's love, and you remember his teaching. But also when you read Proverbs in the Bible, you learn how to make wise choices and to avoid things that could hurt you. It tells us very clearly what the results in Proverbs of making bad choices will be. That's why I encourage you to read Proverbs regularly. I try to read through it each year. I encourage you to read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I try to read through the book of Psalms every other year. I encourage you to come up with your own reading plan because remember, His words are life. As we read earlier, Paul talked about the message of Christ. He says, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. By reading God's word, by knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have access to the power of Christ and the wisdom of God. And finally, the last one, go to church every Sunday. Ecclesiastes 12:12, it says, of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. That sounds like a lot like high school, doesn't it? Studying for your finals and studying for your tests. Well, I've got some advice for you. College is not going to be much easier. In fact, it's going to be much harder. You'll cover some subjects in 2 weeks in college that took a semester to cover in high school. But after Solomon had studied and read all of his life, he came to this conclusion that the most important thing was his relationship with God. He said, now, after everything's been heard, after everything I've done, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. See, going to church is where we put into practice our fear of the Lord, where we put in our respect of the Lord. We're coming to him and saying, we need you, we love you, we praise you. We do it together as a group and as a family. Your church is where you find acceptance, where you find encouragement. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes and talked about everything that he had done was meaningless. He had tried it all, money, women, power, education. He said, I had it all, but the most important thing to me after chasing all this was fear God and keep his commandments. The very first verse of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes says, remember your creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. We remember our creator when we come to church. We're making a choice of how we are going to spend our time on this day. And we spend our time telling God he is in control. See, your families have laid a spiritual foundation for you. Your church has done the same. Now it's your choice. Will you attend church? Will you make it a spiritual foundation that you continue to grow on? James 3 talks about wisdom, the difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. By deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Get involved in your church. Make a difference with your life. Let God use you in his service. This is a special day for our graduates, either from high school or college, eighth grade or preschool. I was at the Montessori graduation on Thursday night here at the church. They had their little tassels on their caps as they walked across the stage, and I thought about the ones going into kindergarten, that in 13 years, they'll be in the same place that you guys are, in 2032. It made a shiver go through my back. But all the things mentioned in chapter 3 are applicable to us here this morning. I preached one Sunday at a church in Oak Grove, Missouri. I cannot remember the name of that church, but I can remember it was a Sunday, and it was in July. And the only reason I can remember that, because I was listening to the British Open on the radio as I went to the ball game. I'm weird that way. I associate life events with sporting events. And, you know, I asked my wife about it. I said, you know, I could ask me the night that Carrie was born, and I could tell you if the Reds won. I could probably tell you what the score was. And she's never liked it, and I don't think she's going to like it for the rest of my life, but that's how it happens. But in chapter 3, I met a guy there at the Sunday school, there in Oak Grove. And he said, chapter 3 of Proverbs has everything that you needed. And I think he was pretty right. Chapter 3 reminds us of God's wisdom that the world was created. It tells us to be generous. It tells us how we can sleep peacefully. It tells us how to be humble. It tells us there will be tough times and we will receive discipline from the Lord. It tells us not to be envious and tells us to choose the right kind of friends. You have so much in front of you. My Aunt Rita has a picture on a pillow of my grandpa and grandma Cobb in front of an old car that right before they headed off to get married on May 4th, 1942. You see a young couple with excitement for the future and love for each other, with no idea of everything that they will face in the future, the joys and the disappointment. I saw a picture of Alberta and her husband Wayne a couple weeks ago with that same look right before they were first married. One day you will look back on your graduation pictures and think about this day, what you were thinking, who was there, where have you gone, everything you've done and how much you've changed. You'll see pictures of people that are no longer with you. You'll have no idea what lies ahead of you, but if you put these three principles into practice, pray every day, read your Bible every day, and go to church on Sunday, you'll be successful in your faith, you'll be able to endure the hardships that life will throw at you, and you will make an eternal difference with your family and those around you. Proverbs chapter 4 says this, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. This afternoon, you will turn the tassel on your cap to the other side. That will signify you have completed this step in your life. If you chase after godly wisdom and make the choice to make it the guide of your life, you won't have a cap and tassel when this life is over. You will receive the crown of life and receive the gift of eternal life.